Amen. Thank you, choir. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of John once again, the Gospel of John, chapter 19, for our Good Friday message. John, chapter 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 1 to verse 6, we'll read this morning. Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 1 to 6, reads, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him.' Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, 'Behold the man.' When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Pilate saith unto them, 'Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.'" Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray that your Holy Spirit would give us an understanding of the Word of God this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ endured two illegal trials that led to his crucifixion. One was a religious trial. The second was a civil trial under the hand of the Romans. And it was via these two trials the Lord Jesus was sentenced to death. Now the Jews would carry out corporal punishment by stoning a person to death. The Romans would crucify a person to death. And because the land of Israel, Palestine, was under Roman dominion, they were subject to Roman law. So therefore, the religious leaders cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" If the land was under Jewish law, then they would have cried out, "Stone him! Stone him!" Crucifixion within the Bible time was considered the most painful and the most humiliating way to die. And the Lord Jesus endured such agony and disgrace purposely and willingly. And from the early stages of his public ministry, he committed himself to fulfill the will of God the Father. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse number 34, "My meat is to do the will of the Father, the one that has sent me." And shortly before the Lord Jesus was arrested, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane to God the Father, "Not my will, but thy will be done." My friend, this morning, sin needed payment. Jesus Christ alone is without sin. Therefore, he qualifies alone to pay the sin debt. And the death of Jesus Christ on the cross paid in full for man's sin. Therefore, through him, we can be forgiven. And this forgiveness is applied to a person's life when that individual acknowledges their need of a Savior and they believe that Jesus Christ died on their behalf. And beyond that, they choose to believe that Jesus Christ was buried and rose again. And upon belief in what we call the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, acknowledging that Jesus Christ died for the sins of humanity, that person can simply, by faith, turn or repent, turn to Jesus Christ and receive Him as personal Savior. This is the Easter message. And this is what Good Friday is all about, that Jesus Christ paid in full the sin debt of mankind. The Bible teaches here in John chapter 19, verses 1 to 6, that our Lord Jesus was brutally beaten and mocked before He was crucified. The word scourge there means to be whipped, and within Bible times, under Roman dominion, it was possible to be whipped with a whip known as a cat of nine tails. And under Roman law and Jewish law, you could not inflict no more than 40 stripes, because they believed that by 40 stripes it would kill the individual. So you could apply up to 39 stripes of this brutal whip that was applied to its victim. And the Bible teaches us the Lord Jesus was scourged, and then the soldiers, out of mockery, plaited a crown of thorns and placed that crown of thorns upon the head of the Lord Jesus. Then they placed on Him, the Bible teaches us in verse 2, a purple robe. Now, purple was a mark of royalty. And those that were royal, those that were kings, for example, would wear the color purple. So they mockingly placed a purple robe on Him, and they made a crown out of thorns after scourging Him, the Bible teaches us. And then they cried out, "This is the King of the Jews." And some of the Roman soldiers, according to verse number 3, the Bible teaches us, smote Him with their hands. And as Pilate went forward before his accusers, he said, "Here is your King." And the Bible teaches us in verse number 6 that the religious leaders cried out, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." But it's interesting that at the end of verse number 6, Pilate said, "Take ye Him and crucify Him, for I find no fault in Him." The Lord Jesus was willing to die. And Pilate understood that this one that was about to be crucified, at the will of this religious group, these Jewish people, was truly an innocent man. And that's why he said, "Behold the man. Here he is. Here is the one that you want crucified." But Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." Now as we move on in John chapter 19, note there in verse number 13 it reads, "When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, that is 12 noon, and he said unto the Jews, Behold your King." So back in verse number 5, he said, "Behold the man." Here he said, "Behold your King, your King." But they cried out, "Away with him, Away with him. Crucify him. Then Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Now that was blasphemy. That statement there was pure blasphemy. Because the Jewish people believe there is only one and true and living God. And that one is Jehovah God, the Almighty Elohim. And for them to say, we have only one king because kings were considered as gods. So Caesar was considered as a god within the Roman Empire. That's why the Jewish people despised the fact that they were under Roman rule, and they did not want to submit to Caesar because it was like submitting to another god. So when the Jewish people cried out, our king is Caesar, they were saying, our god is Caesar. They were denying their own god. They were committing blasphemy. And you know what? They charged Jesus Christ with blasphemy. They charged him with blasphemy because he claimed to be the eternal Son of God. And here they commit blasphemy by saying Caesar is our king, Caesar is our God. And note verse number 16, it reads, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and they led him away. So Jesus Christ was led away. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 17, please, and he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. When they crucified him, the two other with him, on either side one, Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. So as the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified between two guilty sinners, one on his left and one on his right, there were seven statements that proceeded from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ while he was on that cross. And within these statements we will glean a greater understanding concerning the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 23. The Gospel of Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23, verse number 32, the Bible reads, and there were also two other malefactors or criminals led with him to be put to death. So the Lord Jesus wasn't crucified alone. He was crucified with two other guilty men. And that's how the Romans did it. They would crucify people. They were sentenced to death, a group of criminals at one time. It was never an exclusive issue. So the Lord Jesus was simply bundled up with two men that were guilty of crimes that warranted death. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross between these two guilty men. Now note verse number, the following verse please. Verse number 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, Golgotha, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Now note verse number 34, please. Then said Jesus, Father, that is God the Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garments and cast lots. I'd like for us to note this morning the first of seven main statements that were made by the Lord Jesus there on the cross. And we find within this statement a prayer of forgiveness. A prayer of forgiveness for others. Our Lord offers forgiveness to all, even to those that have hurt him. And the first words that proceeded from the lips of the eternal Son of God, as he was suspended between heaven and hell, as he was crucified between two guilty criminals, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Our Lord Jesus offered forgiveness. That is the first statement that proceeds from the lips of the eternal Son of God as he was suspended, crucified on that old rugged cross. Our Lord Jesus offers forgiveness. Why? Because we are sinful. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. There is none good, no, not one. We are sinful. Jesus Christ became sin for us. And the first thing that Jesus Christ said upon that cross, he proclaimed a prayer of forgiveness. Because we are sinful. And there is nothing we can do in our own strength to cleanse our souls from the stain of sin. But Jesus Christ is the answer. That's what Good Friday is all about. Jesus Christ paid the sin debt. He died in your place and he offers forgiveness to all. Now back there in John chapter 19, Pilate, time and time again, said, this man is innocent. This man is innocent. This man is innocent. And Pilate pleaded with Jesus Christ to defend himself. But yet the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ did not defend himself because he was in the will of God the Father, which was to provide redemption for all mankind. That's what Easter's all about. Jesus Christ died for the sins of humanity, and the good news, my friend, is that he offers forgiveness. He offers eternal forgiveness. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Jesus Christ offers you, my friend, this morning on this Good Friday, forgiveness. Why? Because he died in your place. He also guarantees a home in heaven if you'll receive that forgiveness. Here in Luke chapter 23, once again, look at verse number 42 and 43. Then he said unto Jesus, this is one of those criminals, one of those thieves that was crucified with our Lord. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, he confessed him as Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And note verse number 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And no doubt that criminal heard the cry of the eternal Son of God who said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And no doubt as that criminal listened in on that offer of forgiveness, For he readily admitted that he was a sinner. In fact, he cried out to the other thief on the other side of our Lord Jesus and said, "We are guilty. We are guilty of sin. That's why we're here. But this one between us is innocent." Now, originally, both of those criminals mocked and scoffed the eternal Son of God. But one of those criminals had a change of attitude, and he rebuked the other criminal and said, "Leave him alone, he's an innocent man. But we're guilty of sin." And then as that thief heard the words of the eternal Son of God, "Father, forgive them." Oh, he understood for the very first time in his life that yes, this is truly the King of the Jews. This is truly the Messiah. This is truly the one that can redeem me from my sin. And therefore he cried out, "Lord." He acknowledged Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, Messiah, acknowledging that he was sinful, he needed a Savior, and therefore he acknowledged that this is the Savior, and therefore he cried out, "Lord, Lord Jesus, remember me when you enter your eternal kingdom." And the Lord Jesus turned to this one and said, "My friend, tonight you will be with me in paradise." So the Lord Jesus offers forgiveness. The Lord Jesus offers an eternal home. And my friend, this morning, this is a Good Friday because Jesus Christ died for the sins of humanity to pay in full for our sin, that we by faith can receive that forgiveness and not only be forgiven, but also have a home in heaven with the God of gods and the Lord of lords. And this religious character, pardon me, this sinful character, this thief, had no time to do anything religiously in order to gain God's approval. But he simply just cried out by faith, acknowledging his need, believing in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and this man was transformed from a child of darkness to a child of light. How? By faith. And my friend, this morning, it's no different for you and I. It's no different for you and I. He was guaranteed a home in heaven. We go back to John chapter 19, please. The Gospel of John chapter 19. Verse 25 it reads, John chapter 19, verse 25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple, John the Apostle, took her unto his own house." Now here, within this passage of Scripture, we have the third statement made from the cross. The first statement offered forgiveness. The second statement offered eternal life, the assurance of eternal life. This third statement dealt with the issue of obedience. Jesus Christ commanded his disciple, this disciple, if you compare Scripture with Scripture, is John the Apostle, the author of this book, and said to John the Apostle, "Okay, I want you from now on to look after Mary." Now the question goes begging, what happened to Joseph? Where was Joseph? Where were all the other children that Joseph and Mary had after the entrance of Jesus Christ into the world? Well, we're not told. But we are told that Jesus Christ said to this disciple, I want you from this day forward to look after Mary. And the Bible teaches us that he did so. He simply obeyed. So the third cry from the cross of Jesus Christ is a call for obedience. Is a call for obedience. And may God remind us concerning the fact that for those of us that know Jesus Christ as Savior, that we have been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shed His blood to pay for your sins, to pay for my sins, and we are not our own. We belong to Jesus Christ. We are His. So He has rightful ownership over my life and over your life. And may you and I, as God's people, endeavor more so to obey the one that owns us. Obey the one that owns us. Matthew chapter 27, please. Matthew chapter 27. Look at verse number 46. Matthew 27:46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So his first utterance on the cross dealt with the issue of forgiveness, and he addresses God the Father. In his fourth statement, made on the cross, the Lord Jesus bears his heart. Here we have God forsaking God, as one man put it. God the Father here turns his back on God the Son. God the Father turning away from God the Son, as God the Son took our sin upon himself and paid for the sins of humanity with his own precious blood. And God the Son cries out, my Father, my God, why are you forsaking me? So it was as if God the Son experienced literally God the Father turning his back on God the Son. Why? Because God is holy. Holy, holy, holy is all God Almighty. So God the Father turned his back on God the Son as God the Son bore the sins of humanity upon himself. And God the Son was sensitive to that. He said, oh my God, why are you forsaking me? Well, he knew full well. Because he knew full well that God the Father could not bear the presence of sin. God is holy. And at that very moment, as the Lord Jesus was bearing the sins of humanity upon himself, my sin, your sin, my sin, caused God the Father to turn his back on God the Son. Our sin. Your sin. My sin. Cause God the Father to turn his back on God the Son. Sin grieves the heart of God. And I trust and pray that on this Good Friday that you and I would stand back for a moment and be sobered by the effect of sin upon the heart of God. As we consider the forsaking of God the Father, of God the Son, as he bore the sins of humanity upon himself. Back in John chapter 19, please, in verse number 28, we note our Lord's fifth cry, John 19, verse 28 it reads, "And this said Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst." Our Lord thirsted in order to provide eternal life by suffering on the cross for your sin and for my sin. And I just wonder, for those of us that know Jesus Christ as Savior, how much do we thirst after God? Our Lord was willing to thirst in order to provide redemption. He was willing to sacrifice and deny His physical satisfaction, so to speak, in order to provide eternal life for all mankind. And I just wonder whether the people of God really appreciate that. And whether the people of God are really willing to press hard after God, to sacrifice on His behalf. Then note then verse number 30, please. Statement number 6. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. Statement number 6, that proceeded from the lips of the eternal Son of God on that cross, was, "It is finished." It is finished. A statement of triumph. A statement conveying completion, finality. And when Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," He meant, "It is finished." The payment of sin, or the payment for sin, has been provided once and for all. It's complete. No more need for any further payment. Paid in full. The Lord Jesus could have said, "Paid in full." He said, "It is finished. It is finished." And my friend, this morning, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? Because it is finished. Sin has been paid for once and for all through His death on the cross. He was buried, and on day number 3 He arose from the dead, satisfying God the Father and offering you and I eternal life. See? So it's a gift. Eternal life is a gift. It's a gift for you and I, but somebody paid for that gift. It was Jesus Christ, with His own precious blood. Let me close with Luke chapter 23, please, verse number 46. Luke chapter 23, verse number 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, verse number 46, He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." And having thus said, He gave up the ghost. Last but not least, this is the final statement, the final of 7 statements made by Jesus Christ on the cross. And once again we have a prayer. "Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit." And that little statement there, "He gave up the ghost," means that there was a separation between body and spirit. Jesus Christ died physically on that cross. Jesus Christ died physically. 100% God became 100% man, remained 100% God, and He was willing to be crucified in order to pay for my sin, for your sin. And when He cried out, "It is finished," That is a statement of completion, a statement of hope. And the hope, my friend, is simply this, that you and I, though we are sinful, we can be forgiven. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And my friend, this morning, Jesus Christ offers you forgiveness. This is Good Friday. Because sin has been paid for. Paid in full. With what? The blood of Jesus Christ. We serve a wonderful Savior. He's worthy of our obedience. And just like that disciple was commissioned and commanded, he willingly obeyed. May you and I, as the people of God, on this Good Friday, be reminded of the fact that we need to obey the one that died for us. And obey him fully. Though we might not understand, but just obey. Because he owns us. And he knows what's best for us. My friend, this morning, if you've yet to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, it's a free gift. It's available. It's available to you. For you this morning. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.